thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessings, and that through Christ, that we can be more than a conqueror. And not just a conqueror. A conqueror means maybe at the end of the day you won, but if you're half dead, I wouldn't say you're more than a conqueror. But the Lord has a place for us to be more than conquerors this morning through Christ Jesus. Written on the board, a title that I actually feel is inadequate to the message the Lord gave me to share this morning. Written on the board, breaking the cycle of poverty. And I am not preaching a message this morning of health and wealth, but the Lord is interested in breaking the cycle of spiritual poverty that's in people's lives. There are a lot of people that have spiritual poverty, and poverty denotes a real lack or a real need. It's more than I can't go and maybe buy the extra that I want, but it's I don't even have the things to sustain me. And there is a cycle that is taking place in a lot of people's lives, and I don't know how else to explain it except it's poverty. And the Lord wants to break the cycles in our lives. And we say, well, what do you mean our lives? There are cycles of poverty in people's lives that are not saved. But there are also places in people's lives who have been saved. But there are these reoccurring things that are happening in their life that is depriving them of experiencing the joy of the kingdom of God. Like to begin this morning with a very familiar passage over in the 29th chapter of Isaiah. In the 10th verse, thus saith the Lord, thus that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Now the Lord is saying, and I still believe it is relevant for each and every one of us this morning, in spite of your problems and my problems, in spite of our difficulties and situations in life, God is still saying, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Now there have been times in life I have questioned people's motivations. I'm sure most of us have. What is motivating them to do that? And I look at the consequences and the behaviors of people, and sometimes people's motivations are a little bit suspect. A flowery tongue does not do a lot for me, especially when you find out what they're saying behind your back. You kind of, well, you say this to my face, and you say something else behind my back, and there's something that doesn't correlate there. But do you know with the Lord this morning, we can take Him at face value. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The Lord has good designs for each and every one of us this morning, and they're thoughts of peace. He has good plans for you in your life, and He said, I want to bring you to an expected end. And then He said, then shall you call upon me. Oh, now here's some responsibility for us. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All of your heart. See, a lot of times we take comfort that yes, the Lord has a good plan for me. But there's some responsibility that we have this morning, and that is that we need to seek for God with all of our heart. This morning, if there are places of poverty in your life, and I'm not talking about the number of dollar bills or $100 bills in your bank account. I'm talking about spiritually this morning. If there are places of poverty in your life that seem to be reoccurring, the Lord has a good plan for you. But our responsibility is that, Lord, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to call to you in my poverty. I'm not going to turn to anybody else. Nor am I going to give up, but Lord, I'm going to seek your face. And the Lord said, when you call on me with all of your heart, you're going to find me. If we are not finding God this morning in the middle of our poverty, the responsibility is not God's, it's mine, it's yours. Are we seeking Him with all of our heart to the point of desperation? Do you know when you are poor? I see poverty as being more than just poor. Because poor means I don't have a lot. But poverty speaks of a depth, and I have seen poverty. Malawi, if it's not still, it has been the number one poorest country in the world. I have seen impoverished people. People that are wearing rags. You want to go talk to them about modesty, you better have a shirt in your hand to give to them. They are in rags. They have nothing else. They don't have to go to bed hungry. The children, their stomachs extended because of malnutrition. They are impoverished. And so then, to break the cycle of poverty, is there any way to break it? Do you know there is an answer? There is a way to break the cycle of poverty. But most of all, spiritually this morning, if there have been cycles in your life, and I'm just going to give a few instances that we can't dwell with each one of them this morning or even bring them all up or mention them. But I thought about the places of poverty that people go through. Bitterness. You know, there are cycles of bitterness or for issues of unforgiveness that people cycle through. Sometimes month after month, year after year. Do you know that there is a place that the Lord wants to minister to us in the middle of our poverty to break the cycle that we can overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ? There are places in life that people have repeated failures. And I do not know anyone that is saved that can testify in honesty and say they have never had a place in their life that they didn't have some repeated failures. Now, I am not preaching to be, you just fell and ask the Lord to forgive you, fell, ask the Lord to forgive you, fell, ask the Lord to forgive you. Now that's a cycle, isn't it? The Lord came to break the cycle of poverty. But I believe all of us, and if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me, but all of us somewhere in life have been at a place we thought we had the victory and then we found ourselves falling short of what the Lord wanted. In a place that it challenges your very faith in God. It can start to challenge, you will start questioning, am I saved or do I even have the Holy Spirit or what's wrong? Because there's this cycle that is repeating itself. And it can cause, if you're not careful, it'll cause you to throw your hands up and lose out everything that God has done. The Lord wants to break the cycle of poverty. There are so many different issues that we could address. But many people are being hindered spiritually because of things of the past. The way that most of us think of the future is often based upon our experiences of the past. We tend to look at the future based on what happened to us yesterday or last year. And to an extent, all of us are products of our environment. But folks, the Lord Jesus came to do for us spiritually something that would enable us to rise above the oppressive past that maybe we have been in, or maybe family members have been in, or maybe how long? Let me give you a little story. In Malawi, and we may share a little bit more this afternoon when we show some slides, but we went to some agricultural training in Malawi. Keep in mind, poorest country in the world, okay? And the instructor, he asked the people there a question. And I was one of them, but I was one of three white people in the midst of impoverished people. Some of them had a little bit of education. Some of them were subsistence farmers from the villages that had almost nothing. So we want to hear what's their answer going to be. But he began to question them and ask them about their perspectives of the future and begin to eat their experiences. Do you know that these people, they have a pattern of failure? There's a pattern of failure in their life that they plant crops, and this is repeated all over Malawi. They plant their crops, and it ends up costing more for seed and fertilizer than what they harvest. And I'm sitting here running the figures in my mind thinking, y'all would do better to sit on your porch in your hut and not plant a harvest and go to market and use your money to buy some maize the next season. Because they're losing money when they plant their harvest. Some of it they need, so what's the answer? But yet fear motivates them to go and plant anyway when they know they're losing money. Because they think, if I don't plant, I'm going to go hungry. Well, you pencil it out. It's like, keep your money in the pocket that you have and just go to market and buy some maize when you need it. But fear is what's motivating them. And folks, they're in a cycle of poverty. Fear is motivating too many people's decisions spiritually. And I don't know how the Lord wants to apply all of this in all of our individuals' lives, but I just want to give out what the Lord put on my heart. But there is a cycle of poverty, and fear is motivating too many decisions that we're making, that people make. Proverbs 10:22 say, the blessing of the Lord maketh what? Maketh rich. Folks, you get God involved in a cycle of poverty, and you're going to start to find richness. You're going to start finding that now I was poor, I was impoverished, but the blessing of the Lord turned it around. Folks, the Lord can turn it around. But here's the deal. When they asked these men, and there are a few young women there, ask them, say, how many people are looking for and want to be a farmer? Almost no one wanted to be a farmer because they had seen failure in their parents and in their grandparents, and they're the poorest country in the world. Why would I want to follow after something that I have seen failure in? Folks, spiritually, the enemy would like us to get our eyes on people that have spiritual failures to make us think we can't do it either. You have seen people have fallen by the wayside. Seen ministers fall away, and people say, well, if they can't make it, we can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can make it. You, just because they were impoverished and fell away, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You call on the Lord with all of your heart, and you can make it, even if everybody else around you is in a cycle of poverty. So you look around and say, if this is what it's about, and I see spiritual failure, and they're professing to be saved, there's nothing to this. Folks, there's a place of richness in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we're not experiencing that richness and we're impoverished this morning, I want to encourage you to know the Lord wants to start breaking some cycles of poverty. Most of us, say if not all of us, have had failures or disappointments in life in the past, setbacks, letdowns, frustrations, defeats, hindrances, and those failures and those disappointments, they can start getting in your heart. They can start getting in your heart because of your experience. And do you know they begin to mold and shape our perceptions of people and life in general because of the disappointments of the past. Poverty, I'm finding, is more than just what's in your billfold. There is a mindset of poverty. Well, I'm never going to have anything anyway. So then they take what they do have and they go waste it. Because I'm never going to have anything anyway. So I'll stop. You stop and buy a $3 drink, and then you complain about being impoverished. It's like, you have $3. That could have bought you something. Well, I'm always struggling anyway. Well, maybe if you start saving those $3, you could start breaking this cycle of poverty. It's a mindset, folks. Spiritually, it's the same way. If there have been failures, or just disappointments that life has brought that have deeply affected you. The Lord is not immune to that. Don't misunderstand. The Lord is touched with the filling of our infirmities. But He also wants to come in and break that cycle, that mindset, that nothing can ever get better. Nothing. There is a time that God gives us after hardship. I found this in my own life and I've seen it in others. The Lord gives us a space of time. And He loves up on us and He hugs us and He coddles us and He and then there's a time He comes along and says, all right now, wipe the tears, get up, get going. But Lord, you know what happened? We are living in a world where everybody is a victim. Everybody. Do you pick up on that? I mean, just read the newspaper. Everybody's a victim and everybody has a reason why they can't prosper. It's because of what this one did to me. And then it even goes, it's what they did to my great-grandfather. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. There is a cycle here that God wants to break. The Lord has something better for us this morning. The Lord wants to break these cycles, but it's a mindset. It begins to mold and shape our perceptions of people. It affects our worldview. It affects how we view relationships. Mothers, fathers. You know, if someone's had difficulty with a mother or father, that starts being their perception of every mother and father, because that's what they've known. So, if that's all I've known, it makes it difficult to understand that maybe you're a really good mother, but I've never experienced it. And so now my perception and my reality it's my reality. Because, you know, our personal perceptions become our personal realities. But let's not forget this point. Our personal realities are not necessarily the reality. Maybe it's just my reality. So then we need to start seeking the Lord. Lord, would you come in and start working to break the cycle of poverty? It starts in our hearts and in our minds. It needs a heart work. It's a work in my mind and my perceptions. And these things, folks, they begin to affect, it can affect how we view the saints. You know, if you have a bad experience, it's kind of like hearing someone say, well, the saints did me wrong. It's like, who did that? Well, so and so. It's like, well, that was them. That wasn't everybody else. But they allowed a hurt or a disappointment or a failure to shape their reality until it was everybody. Can that happen to us? It can. And then it begins to cycle. And we're poor because of it. And the Lord wants to break that cycle of poverty. But ultimately, it does affect how we start viewing God, too. And it also affects how we view ourselves. How does it make you feel if you fail on something? Have you ever been disappointed in yourself? More than once? Twice? Somewhere along the line, y'all are going to stop shaking your head yes, or nodding yes. Three times? Four times? Five times? Keep nodding. Six times? How do you feel about yourself? It doesn't feel good. It feels like I failed. And I just can't do it. Folks, with man, it is impossible. But there are spiritual victories that we can get through Jesus Christ that can break this cycle of failure. When I look at myself and it seems like I'm just so down on myself, and pretty soon I failed here, and maybe all this was successful. Do you know what happens to our view of ourselves? Pretty soon we start thinking, I can't do anything right. Anybody ever thought that? And it was because you had one problem right here, and there's so many areas that God has blessed you with in your life. But because of one or two things, pretty soon you get this mindset of yourself that I can't do anything right. Everything I do just fails and nothing's good enough. And oh folks, the devil preys on that. The devil works with that perspective because it will cycle and it will get us deeper and deeper into poverty. till we will start losing the blessing over here when really I just need God to give me some victory right here. And this was all going good. But now because of this warped perception and my warped reality, I start losing ground in so many areas of my life. And the Lord wants to break that cycle of poverty. In Malawi, the coordinator asked, we're not getting very far this morning. He asked the people there, and this man has lived in Malawi for 18 years, so he'd been there long enough to be able to ask the question, I guess. He said, how long can we blame the colonials? He said, we have been on our own here in Malawi for over 50 years. Great Britain was out over 50 years ago. He said, how long are we going to blame the colonials for our poverty? And I took note that the people there, the men and women there, acknowledged, we can't blame them. It's us. He asked him a question. I know this gets into some very sensitive grounds. But he asked him a question. He said, what do you think would happen if we got on a plane here in Malawi, we loaded up a big old jet full of people, and we got a jet load of people from the U.S. or from the U.K., and we traded countries. And we traded countries, and we met in the air. He said, what would happen? And he didn't offer his opinions. He was asking them what would happen. I'll tell you what they came up with. They said things here in Malawi would start picking up. They would start improving, and he said things would start deteriorating where we went. So the question was why? It was a mindset. It was a mindset. Some of them thought it was lack of education, lack of experience, and some of that is applicable. But there is a mindset because there has been a cycle of poverty so long that it has affected the psyche of the people. Spiritually, what about us? Have we been affected by things of the past sometimes that maybe we don't really honestly recognize that this has really affected me in a way? And so then we need to start praying for healing. And the challenge, the coordinator was not, it was not an indictment. It was a positive challenge that we can do better. That we can rise above. We're talking about farming now, and I'll share with you maybe later, but there are some farming methods for the subsistence farmer. It makes no sense. They're damaging their land. And they've been damaging it for hundreds of years. And there's a different way to farm. That the land could be more healthy. The land could produce more, and it would actually be less work. But because my dad did it this way and my grandpa did it this way, we've done it this way for hundreds of years. They're ridging their land. They're tilling their land, making these big ridges that's causing erosion in the land. It's messing, making the dams, they're electric. They're getting out of electric now because the dams aren't working properly. It's more mud than it is water. So the turbines aren't turning. Why is it? Because of their farming methods. They're defeating the point. They're eradicating the moisture out of the ground that could be there. And so it means that they're going to have to start recognizing there is a better way that we can break out of this cycle. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to be a process of years, but it's going to take someone standing up saying, I am willing to be different in my community and farm differently than everybody else is. Spiritually, can we do that? There are cycles of poverty in families, folks, that have been going on from generation to generation. Who is going to stand up and say, I'm going to break the cycle? Remember hearing Brother James talk a lot about family sin. But things that run through families, they say, well, my dad was this way, my grandpa was this way, and I just can't help it. Who will stand up and say, Lord, I need you to help me break this cycle of poverty in my life that I can pass along something different to my children? Think about issues of forgiveness or unforgiveness. You know, there are too many things that are passed down to children and they struggle with unforgiveness. See, that's poverty. And it's because mom and dad didn't get the victory like they should. Now what am I passing down to my children? And they say, well, they did this and that to mom and dad, and pretty soon their children are going to say, yeah, do you know what this family did to grandpa and grandma, and do you know what? Who will stand up and break that cycle? That's poverty. The Lord can help us with these things, folks. The Lord can break these cycles, and, oh, we have to start taking responsibility, though, for ourselves. When our personal perceptions, folks, or our personal realities, and I know it's hard to break down the barrier because these things are built brick by brick, year after year. And it can take some time, but the Lord is interested in breaking those cycles for us. Well, I'm just going to relate and point to you the reference over in Deuteronomy in the first chapter. We read about the children of Israel. God had brought them out of Egypt. And what have they been in Egypt? Does anybody remember? Slaves. Slaves. Now, if there's a reason to be a victim, it seems like it would be, I was a slave, right? Do you know that slaves have a slave mentality? When you've been a slave, you've had someone telling you what to do. And all of a sudden, when someone's not telling you what to do, do you know that, yes, while you may be liberated, it brings trouble because there is a security and a comfort in having someone tell you what to do when you've gotten used to it. And you may say, well, I'm not sure about that. It's the very reason people that have been in prison for many years and they get out of prison, do you know how many of them get in trouble? And part of it is because while they didn't want to be in captivity, I don't want to be in prison. They establish a routine in their life of someone telling them when to get up, when to go to bed. You have to do this. You have to do that. And all of a sudden, I'm making those decisions for myself. And I can't handle it. And so they get in trouble. Well, the children of Israel, God knew this condition was going to exist. So the children of Israel camped at a mountain for 1 year. This wasn't a weekend camping trip. They camped at a mountain for a year. And during that year, the Lord helped them to begin to develop socially, politically, and spiritually. They had to learn how to have judges and how to have some rules and regulations, and they had to get back on their feet to get rid of their slave mentality. I think God's timeline is interesting. After 1 year, He came along and He said, you've been at this mountain long enough. Now it's time to get up and go to Canaan land. And they, because of unbelief, still did not go to Canaan land, but they wandered in the wilderness. Folks, there are things that are going to happen in your life and in my life that have the potential to affect us for many, many years. But the Lord has a power to break those cycles that we can be productive citizens, we can be productive saints of God, that we can be productive family members. Even though, yes, I have been affected by my past, there is a place of victory and stability that the Lord wants to bring to our life. And not always be pointing back to Egypt and say, well, I was a slave, and God is saying, you were a slave, but I am your God. Get up and go to Canaan land. You see places the Lord wants to work in our life? There are people that have struggled with things of the past. Folks, I'm convinced more and more as I get older, there are enough hurts and disappointments to go around in our world, in our society, and in our families. There's enough to go around. No one's exempt. Well, there's a biblical answer for things. A biblical answer to start breaking the cycles of some things. One of them is to forgive. People say, well, but you don't know what they did. Do you know that Jesus left us an example of being oppressed, mistreated, persecuted, and crucified, put to death, and He showed us the way to follow. I look at the divisiveness that is in our society today, even here in America, and folks, something is wrong. The Bible has the answer. One of it is forgive. You say, yes, but you don't know what... Forgive. Doesn't matter what they did to your grandparents. Doesn't matter what happened back then. It doesn't even really matter what they did to you yesterday. As children of God, we are to forgive. And we are also, the other part of an equation is, we are to ask for forgiveness. It's so much easier to point fingers. So much easier to think it's everyone else. But folks, for these cycles of poverty to be broken in our life, it's, Lord, help me to ask and help me to forgive. Help me to humble my heart. Folks, humility will take care of so much. It will take care of so much. As children of God, and I want to just speak very briefly about some things in our society. As children of God, folks, we are to treat everybody with love and dignity. Doesn't matter what gender they are. Doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what cultural background they are of. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic status they have. As children of God, we are to treat everybody with love and respect. Whether you're black or white or Indian or Asian, we are to treat everybody with respect. Do you know that would take care of a lot of the problems in our society today if people would do that? And it is just as true that as we say bigotry is wrong, violence and hate is not of God, it is also true that we must openly declare as children of God that we must forgive those who have wronged us in the past. If everybody would follow these basic biblical principles, folks, all of this striving and accusations and finger-pointing, do you see there's something escalating in our society? It's almost becoming this self-fulfilling, it's getting bigger. If there was a problem, and there is, that problem is getting bigger and bigger now because people are failing to come back down to what the Bible says. As children of God, folks, from whatever race, from whatever gender, we are to forgive, we are to humble our heart, we're to treat our neighbor as we would like to be treated ourselves. And there is a place to forgive those that have wronged us in the past that we can move forward to break a cycle of spiritual poverty that is existing in so many lives today. Christ was our example, and there's we can't get away from that. There, when the Lord came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead my children out of Egypt. Do you remember what Moses said? I can't do it. I can't speak well. I stammer. And God spoke to him, and God revealed who he was. Do you remember who God said he was? I am. I am. I am eternally present. I am eternally existent. Folks, we want to talk about breaking the cycle of spiritual poverty. And I know we can talk about things in our society. We can talk about things in our family. We can talk about things in the church. We can talk about things in our own personal life. God is the I am. I am your God today. And we say, but Lord, look at the past. I'm not taking away from the pain and the hurt of the past, but I'm saying because God is I am, He can begin to heal and mend up and bind that we can find a wealthy, rich place in Christ because He is the I am. It's not because of what we can do for ourselves, but because I'm calling out to the I am. Lord, I've been in this cycle of failure, or this cycle of bitterness, or this cycle of just of castigating myself or people around me. Nobody's good enough, or I'm not good enough, or we have a God that is the I am. Put your trust in that I am, the God of today, and you will find the cycles getting further and further apart, and you're going to start finding the harvest is a little richer. These farmers that may farm maybe an acre or two and they get 6 bags of maize, you know, next year I believe they can get 8 bags. In the next year they can get 9 bags. They're progressing until they begin to get a little bit of profit, and it breaks the cycle of poverty. Step by step, little by little, day by day. But it's because God is the I Am. And God also said over in Isaiah 43:19, He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." We are not dependent upon what God even did in the past. We can look to God today for a fresh anointing of His Spirit that, "Lord, I'm going to trust You." And the Lord wants to do a new thing in your life. Where there has been poverty, where things have dried up, the Lord is saying, "I will do a new thing." Can we put our trust in a God like that this morning? So we are going to face difficulties still today. And you know, when things of your past keep coming up before you, sometimes you can't escape things of your past. You have to keep encountering them. My question is this: are we going to allow those things of our past to shape our future of who we are in Christ? Or can we say, "Lord, where it's been difficult and where there's been pain and where there's been a struggle, I know I may still struggle tomorrow. And I still know that the life has a way of touching all of us. And folks, I don't have control over anybody else. You can't control anybody else. You may ask forgiveness or you may humble all you want and it may not change anybody else. But you know who it changed? It changed right here." So the Lord can enable us to break cycle of spiritual poverty, that we can begin to prosper in our souls even when we still have to face some of the difficulties from the past. We have the I Am with us today. Paul said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I press toward the mark." Or he said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and the reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'm going to put the things behind me, and I want to stretch forward to something else. In closing, there's one more scripture, and I woke up this morning, and the Lord, I just want to share this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. I believe it would just summarize so well what the Lord wants to do for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake, He did what? He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be made rich." Christ left all of the glory and the splendor and the authority and the richness of heaven, and He came to be a servant. He suffered humiliation and He suffered death. But was Christ a victim? No. No, He wasn't a victim. But He came and endured that poverty, that through His poverty we might be rich in our life. That where we feel like there's an absence and we're lacking and there's a drought and there's poverty, that through Christ we can be rich and experience His blessings and anointing and the presence of His Holy Spirit in our life. This morning, let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. And if no one else needed this message this morning, there may be someday that you'll need it. Our society needs it. Our society needs it badly, and I want to encourage us as some of God's people not to fall into the quagmire of our society's ills and this going back and forth trying to make points and counterpoints. And Lord, help us to be part of the solution of humility and love and kindness and putting the hurts of the past behind as much as we are able and reach forward to something better. Personally, in our families, in the body of Christ, folks, life brings hurts, brings disappointments. But the Lord is there. He is the I am, that these cycles can be broken because of His richness.